Proverbs chapter 1. We're talking about wisdom today, and wisdom brings obedience. And that's what the title of the message is, Wisdom Brings Obedience. And we don't have PowerPoint today. I don't have handouts. Man, we're just going to go through the Word of God, and we're just going to look at it and expose it and see what God has to say about wisdom and obedience. And, you know, because usually when people don't do things, it's usually one of two reasons. One, you either don't know to do it, and so therefore you would be ignorant of it. Not ignorant in a bad way, just you don't have the knowledge. Or two, you have a hard heart and you just refuse to be obedient, you know. So usually those are two reasons that cause disobedience, is either ignorance or willful disobedience. You're just not going to obey or do what God asked you to do. So I want you to see today, and I told you last week as I thought about it, I want you to see how God loves you and how He wants to bless you. And that's where we're at today. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 is where we're going to start. And we're not going to leave the book of Proverbs. So I want you to just hang in here with me and follow along, because we're going to cover three chapters today. And I'm not going to cover it like I did seven chapters in Hebrews in 1 hour. It's only three chapters in Proverbs in 1 hour. So it should be a little less information, a little easier to follow along. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 7. And as we read this, then we'll break it down and we'll talk about it. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So he starts out saying, you know what, listen, to the beginning of knowledge and wisdom and understanding is to believe God's word. Now, a lot of us, and it's so funny because I could ask everybody in here, do you believe God's word is truth? And I would venture to say 99% of you in here would say, yes, absolutely, I believe God's word is truth. Do you love Jesus? And the majority of you would say, yes, I love Jesus. Do you listen to what God says? Well, no, not all the time. So then are you disobedient? The answer to that would be yes. And so he says here, listen, here's what I want you to see. In verse 7, he says, "The fear of the Lord," which is the reverence of the Lord, if you will, the honoring of the Lord. The fear of the Lord doesn't mean to be afraid of the Lord. It means to honor the Lord or reverence the Lord. So the fear of the Lord, or the honoring of the Lord, the reverencing of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it begins. It doesn't begin with you, and it doesn't begin with me. It begins with God. And so if we're going to learn and grow and understand, then we have to learn and grow in the Word of God. We have to practice what the Word of God says. But in order to practice what the Word of God says, we can't be ignorant of the Word of God. We have to read it and learn it and understand it. He said that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of knowledge. But, and you know, the Bible always balances itself, doesn't it? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools do not adhere to the Word of God. And so if you are not listening to the Word of God, you are not being obedient to what God says. The Bible says, and I want you to hear this, Pastor John's not saying this. The Bible, some of you are already laughing because you know where I'm going. The Bible says you're a fool. Now, I didn't call you a fool. The Bible calls you a fool. God calls you a fool. And you go, well, I already don't like you now, Pastor. It's okay. Hopefully by the time I get to the end of it, you'll appreciate me a little bit more. But he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look here in verse 8. He says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father." So what we have here is we have the father trying to advise the son, educate the son, grow the son up in the way that he should live. And by the way, it doesn't just apply to the son, it applies to everyone. Okay, son or daughter. And he says, listen, I want you to hear the instruction of your father. Now, if we would be in a Catholic church, you would call me father. I'm not a father. I am a father of two girls. It's funny, I still have people that will come up to me and go, Father John, can I? And I go, you're 65, I'm 45. Mathematically, it doesn't equate. I can't be your father. I'm just a pastor. And so, but I want you to hear the words of God, who is our Father, if you know Jesus as your Savior. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Then I want you to jump over to verse 17, 1:17. He says, now he goes on in 1, and he talks about not forsaking the law, not listening, and how you can get drawn away, and you know what happens when the type of people that draw you away. And then he says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So he talks about, listen, if you are drawn away by the lust of your flesh, you're drawn away by evil, you're drawn away by things that you desire rather than things that God desires. Listen, you know what it does? It takes away the life of its owners. It takes away your life. Greediness. You know, I think about, what are you thankful for? You know, Tuesday night we had Tuesday night Lord's Supper. And of course, I always love it because inevitably, I always get a text or a phone call. Pastor, I'd like to come to the Lord's Supper. What should I bring? Nothing. The Lord's Supper is a little cracker and a thimble of juice. We observe. And so to which I respond, eat very well before you come. Because if you're depending on getting filled up in the Lord's Supper, you're going to go home mighty disappointed. The Lord's Supper, of course, obviously is just an observance of the Lord, of His coming back and of who He is. But here's what happens. Listen, guys. If you're greedy and you're not thankful, by the way, what I was saying earlier was I gave everybody 5 kernels of corn. And then said, what are you thankful for? What 5 things are you thankful for? And it's amazing how many people would really have to sit there and think, wow, what am I thankful for? And the reality is we should be thankful for a lot. But what happens is we get greedy and we want more and we want more. And what we get isn't sufficient enough. So we want more, we want more, we want more, we want bigger, we want better, we want faster, we want whatever it is. And that type of mentality takes away your life. That's what, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, right? Amen? Somebody say amen. All right, just so you know, it's the word of God, not the word of pastor. So look here in verse 17 through 19, he says, listen, if you are out and you're out for your own gain and you're greedy, it's going to take away your life. Now, it may not kill you, but your life consists of more than breath. It consists of joy and peace and happiness, contentment. That's what you get robbed of. That's what gets taken away from you. So now I want you to go down to verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. And by the way, her is wisdom. So anytime you're reading her, it's actually referencing wisdom. Verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Look here in 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. Wait a minute. Do you know what calamity is? Calamity is destruction. And God says, because you won't listen to me, because you won't adhere to my counsel, because I've tried to give you wisdom. And listen, he says here, look here in 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Listen, wisdom, God's wisdom is shouting out to us. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to have knowledge. He wants us to have understanding. Why? Because he wants us to grow. Because when we're no longer ignorant, we can grow in the Word of God, we can honor God, and we can give God glory. So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, and my wisdom is screaming at you, but for whatever reason, you won't adhere to it. And so if you don't adhere to it, I'm going to laugh, God says. And you know, when I read this, I still sometimes go, wow, really, God, you're gonna laugh at our destruction? And some people have a hard time handling that because they'll go, God's not going to laugh at our destruction. God's love. God loves us. No, God does love you, but make no mistake about it. If you don't love God, he'll destroy you. You go, uh-oh, I ain't liking this preaching already. It gets better. Hang on. We're going to roll it. I'll end it on a positive note so everybody doesn't go home crying. But I want you to see that God says, my wisdom is screaming out. I'm trying to tell you how to live. I'm trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to give you instruction. Listen, I want you successful. But if you refuse to listen to me, when you're destroyed, I'll laugh at you. Isn't that what he just says here in 26? I mean, maybe I took it out of context. I tried to add in all the verses so that it wasn't out of context. Look here in 25. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your destruction. See, God's not going to laugh at us because bad things happen to us. God's going to laugh at us because we're a fool. And we wouldn't adhere. We wouldn't listen. We wouldn't obey. Why? Because we want what we want. We want it now. We want it the way we want it. And that's all there is to it. And if not, we're going to have a temper tantrum. You ever been in a grocery store and see a kid throw a temper tantrum? Oh my goodness. Man, I'm going to tell you, there's been so many times my wife has grabbed me by the arm and goes, it's none of your business. Keep walking. And I go, wait a minute, it is my business. Because I'm here and it's a public place and you got to control that kid while screaming and throwing a fit on the floor. Man, that would happen one time. One time. My child would think twice and weigh out, ooh, the calamity is far worse than the tantrum. I will obey. I remember I was in Panera Bread trying to have a meeting. And, you know, because why? Why would you go to Panera Bread? Well, I wanted to take him out to lunch and have some discussion. And you know, that's a professional place, right? You would think. And so we go, and we're sitting at the table, and these two women come in with their four children. And the women are letting these children that are 4 and 5 years old, 6 years old, run all around us, screaming and yelling and playing and going up to the tabletops right beside me. And just the whole time. And I can't even hear myself talk, let alone think. So finally, what? Listen, I can only take so much. And so finally I said, ma'am. She couldn't even hear me. So I had to go, ma'am. She turns around and looks at me with this foolish look on her face. This ignorant look, like she was clueless. Could you please control your children? If you want them to run and play, take them to McDonald's. They have Playland. Now, you guys think I'm kidding you. My wife is slouching down in her chair going, oh, no. The one that I was there to counsel with is going, this is my pastor. She yells at me. Well, what do you expect? They're children. I expect obedience. Well, what do you want me to do? Really? Do you want me to tell you or show you? I'm game for either one. She was angry at me because I asked her to control her children. Because they're invading my space. I'm going to tell you, well, long story short, she got mad. They got up. They left. Praise God. On the way out the door, she had a few choice words for me, to which I could only reply, thank you. She walked out. We resumed our meeting. After 10 minutes of me calming down. Because I just couldn't believe she's yelling at me for her children being off the chart. And God says, listen, I want you to see that we are to be obedient. We are not to be ignorant. And when we're disobedient, it's not good. We bring destruction upon ourselves. That mother was doing a total disservice to her children. And God says, I love you so much, I won't do that disservice to you. I will rebuke you. But if you refuse my rebuking, then I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll laugh at your destruction. And you go, man, God, would you really do that? He said it. I got to believe him. God says, I'll laugh at you. But I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. So then he goes on. Look down here in verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So he says, if you're the fool, I'm going to laugh at you. But if you're obedient and you do what I say and you go, well, God's just a big bossy God. No, God knows what's best. You know, I tell my children not to do things because I love them and I don't want to see them get hurt. And they'll go, Dad, you have too many rules. Well, praise God. Right? We were coming back from Ohio. You have a 600-mile drive from where we were at in Ohio. And of course, in that time, you have a lot of talking that goes on. And so my children proceeded to tell me how they would, what rules they would keep and what rules they would get rid of when they're raising their children. Yeah, I was glad to see they would keep the majority of them. They would keep the spanking. Yeah! Children need spanked. And you go, Pastor, that's abuse. No! The one who spares the rod, the Bible says, if you spare the rod, you hate your child. People say, oh, you spare the rod, you spoil a child. That's not what God says. Go back and read Proverbs. You spare the rod, you hate your child. Because you do him a disservice. My child says, we'll keep spanking in place. But on the grounding of electronics, if that's a plea, it's not working. And so then they go, no, I'd take the electronics away. And you know, for the majority, they would keep all the rules that I have. Now, the one they would get rid of is, now parents, listen up. You might appreciate this one. The rule in my house is, if you leave the light on and you leave the room and you're gone for more than a minute, you owe me a buck. You're going to help pay the bill. I don't have a dollar, Dad. I owe you. I'll take it. You owe me a dollar. And by the way, you go, do you really take the money from your children? Yes! Yes! I want them to learn. What is a rule if there's no consequence to it? Yes! Give me the dollar. So they said, I might keep that one. As a matter of fact, one of my girls said, I'd make it $1.50 because of inflation. I went, I can get 50 more cents because she already agrees with it. The other one that I implement in my house, I don't keep, listen, you can come over to my house and it's, when it comes time for bedtime, you'll never hear me tell my children, get ready for bed, nor will you hear me tell my children, it's past your bedtime. You won't hear it. Because my children know that if bedtime's 9 o'clock on school night, which it is, You go, 9 o'clock, that's early. They need sleep. I got to live with them, and if they don't have rest, I still got to live with them. It's not good. 9 o'clock's bedtime. If it's 9:01 and you're not in bed, guess what time you go to bed the next night? 10 minutes till 9. If it's 9:02, you're still not in bed, guess what time you go to bed the next night? 20 till 9. If it's 9:00, you guys getting the picture? For every minute you're late, it's 10 minutes early to bed the next night. And if you blow the next night and you're late going to bed at the time you're supposed to go, it's 20 minutes for every minute. I've had my kids go to bed at 6 o'clock. Pastor, do you really do that? Yes! It's a rule. And they said, we'd get rid of that one, Dad. We'd get rid of it. You know, because it's okay to go to bed around 9 o'clock. You're right. But for every around after the 9, you're going to bed a lot earlier. And God says, listen, it's the same way. You don't listen, there is a punishment. And we think God's not serious. But he is. Trust me. God means what he says. And he says what he means. And so in 33, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure. Look at that promise. Look at the promise. God says, you listen to me, you will dwell safely, you will be secure. Without fear. What a promise of God. He says all these rules are for you. For your comfort, for your growth. For your blessing. But you got to listen. Look here in 2, 1 through 9. Now we get the value of wisdom. How valuable is wisdom? Well, I'm going to tell you what. You ask my girls how valuable wisdom is. When they keep the lights off, they keep their money. When they go to bed on time. Oh, and by the way, I even have a time for shower. You better be in the shower. But if your bedtime's at 9 o'clock, you need to be in the shower by 8:15. And you go, Pastor, you're pretty strict. Yes! Because it used to be a battle in my house. It's not a battle anymore. I don't even tell them to get in the shower. Why? Because they know if they don't pay attention to the clock and they're not in the shower and in the bed at the time, and it only helps them because they're not running around like chickens with their head cut off 10 minutes before it's time for bed, scurrying frantically. Oh, I got to hurry up and get this. Then they don't get washed right. Their hair's not right. Something's not right because they're scurrying around, whereas with my rules, it allows them to go through the pace without causing a frantic anxiety. And God does the same thing. He says, follow my rules. And you know what? You're going to have safety. And you will dwell safely. He says, you will be secure. And you won't have fear. See, we think, oh, these rules are just too harsh. We need to move them. God says, no. No, I'm not moving them. They're for your own good. It's your rebellious heart that makes you go to bed late. It's your rebellious heart that makes you pay a dollar more. I hope my girls are listening. It's your rebellious heart that makes you pay a dollar more. I'm kidding. But as God says, these rules are for you so that you will dwell safely. You won't have fear. You will be blessed. And yet, we still want to be disobedient. We want to be fools. And God says, I'll laugh at you when destruction comes. We have a hard time with that one. Look here in 2, 1 through 9 now. The value of wisdom. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, that is within your heart, that means it's the real you. That word within literally means that it's you, it becomes you. It's who you are. Why? Because it's in your heart. It has taken up residency in you. He says, within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, why? Because, man, if we sought wisdom like we sought after money, how smart we would be. Amen? You notice how he goes right into money? Because you guys were wondering, where's tithing got to do with it? I'm getting there. Look here. For if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. You notice how he lays it out? He doesn't just leave it for us to try and figure out what we're to do. He says, listen, man, when you grab hold of knowledge and you're serious about me and you do what I say to do, look at all the blessings that happen. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. God says, I will protect you. I'm your shield. I will go before you. I will stop the attack of the enemy. But you have to be obedient. You have to seek this wisdom, and then when you find it, you follow it. And if you don't follow it, there's a price to pay. And what's the price? God says, I remove my protection. That's powerful. He says, I remove my protection. Jump down here to 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I want you to underline, highlight, make notes, do whatever, because I don't want you to miss this. Look here in 3:1. My son, do not forget my law. What's my law? The written word of God. Okay? That's what the law is. But let your heart... Why does he say your heart? Let your heart keep my command. Why the heart? Because the heart is who we truly are. Listen, everything that comes out of our mouth comes from the heart. Everything that comes out that we act out comes from our heart. And if our heart is evil, what are you going to do? You're going to be evil. You're going to act out evil. You're going to do wrong. You're going to be the fool. And so that's why he says with the heart, look, but let your heart keep my commands, not your mind, not your self-discipline. Well, I can keep his commands because I'm a disciplined person. God says, no, I want you to keep my commands because they're in your heart and you love me. There's your difference. Look here too, verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Wow, God says, if you keep my commands, I will lengthen your days and you will have peace. Look what God just wants to keep giving, doesn't he? But notice the word. Or how he says, listen, let your heart keep my commands. And if that happens, if you keep God's commands, you'll live longer and more prosperous. Now that prosperous doesn't always mean money, but that, listen, I was talking earlier to Louisa. She's not in here right now, but I was talking to her, and I was talking, you know, I really sat down for Thanksgiving, and I was it was just a little personal list that I went through for me. And I was thinking of all the things that I was thankful for. And then I hit my Christmas list. You know what I'm saying? How many have a Christmas list? Listen, my daughters emailed me their Christmas list. And as I'm looking at it, I'm going, good luck, doubt it, keep dreaming, yeah. But as I'm going through my head, I go, okay, let me have a Christmas list. What do I want? If I was looking on the grand scale of material things, I would want a new Chevrolet truck, 4-door, Z71 package, loaded out, leather, power windows, power locks, tilt, cruise, air, all of it. You know, you get what I'm saying? 4-wheel drive, that's the Z71 package. So anybody that feels they can afford it, just feel free. Drop it off in my driveway, leave the keys with a little note. Pastor, I love you. I love you too. But now I bring it down on a scale of things that's reality, okay? What do I want for Christmas? And the reality of it is, and I'm not even exaggerating, nothing. Nothing. I mean, I really sat back and went, okay, what is it? What is it that I want? I already have what I want. I have a beautiful wife. two beautiful girls. I have what I want. I have a warm house. You know, I was going over things. Do I want new furniture? I don't even want new furniture. My furniture I've had for almost 16 years now, because we had it before Taylor was born. And it's still fine. It still does its job. But I wouldn't have got a new van, which, by the way, 04 is new to me. It's the first vehicle we've had in the new millennium. Everything else has been 99 or older. And we got an 04 minivan, only because my 2000 minivan said I quit. Or my 99, yeah, my 99 minivan said I quit after 12 years and 200,000 miles. And I'm going, you can't quit! So we had to get another one. My motorcycle, 2000. I've had it 12 years now. My truck, it's a 99, 220,000 miles on it. It still runs. It's good. I have no desire to replace it. I have no desire for new things. And I really, with all of my heart, God is my witness, as I looked and really thought about what do I want, I couldn't come up with anything. I just want God, and I want my family, and I want it in that order. I'm pretty content. And I guess I didn't really realize it. I mean, I realized it, but you know, Thanksgiving is a time to reflect. How many reflected this past Thanksgiving? Yeah. It's just a time to reflect. And as I was reflecting, I was realizing, wow, God, you are so good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you when it's 20 degrees, I don't have an outhouse to go to. I got a warm bathroom. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about anybody else. That should be your first praise. So look here in verse 3. Look here in verse 3. He says, number one, this is the first thing. Are you ready? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. That's the first thing that he says. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. See, what's amazing is that when we seek, you know, our job is to have humility. God's job is to esteem us. And when we fail to do, when we try to do God's job, He's forced to do our job. You get it? When we fail to do our job of being, of having humility, and we try to do God's job, He is forced to humble us. God will raise us up, and that's what He says right here. Listen, if you keep God's truth, and you don't forsake God's truth, man, you write them around your neck, you write them on a tablet of your heart, you put them where they can always be seen, grabbed, read, heard, whatever it is. He says, if you do that, then you'll find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You'll get everything you want, plus. But you can't do it your own. You got to do it God's way. So then look here at the second thing in verse 5. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. What? How do we trust in the Lord? With all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, I know some versions of the Bible say that He'll straighten your paths. Listen, He's not going to straighten your paths. Here's what He's going to do. He's going to direct you as you go through life, because here's the reality of it. As you go through life, you're going to be going through landmines. A landmine field. You know what I'm talking about? And God says, listen, if you look here. I'm getting excited. I got it. Alright. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And God says, here's what I'll do. As you're going through the landmine called life, I will direct you around the mines. I will get you through it. Remember back here in 133, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Listen, if you give everything to God and you acknowledge Him and you seek His face and you have God's wisdom and you're living for God, He says, I will take away all the fear of going through the landmines of life. But you got to seek me with all your heart. So what we see immediately is there are contingencies here in God's plan. If you do this, I will do this. When you do this, I will do this. God says, it is up to you. You will determine your safety and your blessings or your insecurity and your fears. You'll determine it. You will determine it by the decisions you make every day, whether you make them for God or for yourself. That's what he's saying. Look here at the third thing in verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Listen, don't depend on yourself. You're going to get in trouble. How many have ever made poor decisions? Okay, there's proof positive. Don't be wise in your own eyes. God says, listen, you're going to mess up. Fear the Lord. That fear, remember, is reverencing, honoring God. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's running from evil, like Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife when she went to take his, when she said, lie with me. And he left his jacket, he left everything, and he got out. And he says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to get out. I want you to get away from evil. I want you to bring honor and glory to me through your decisions. Depart from evil. And look here in 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Because let's face it, some of you have made really poor decisions. And it's caused stress and anxiety. It has caused things in your life. You lose sleep. You got to work harder if you made a poor financial decision. This is what he's talking about here when he says, listen, if you're not wise in your own eyes, but you're wise in God's eyes, you do what God says. He says, listen, and you reverence God, honor God, bring glory to God, and you run from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Because I don't know about you, but poor decisions and sin makes you a weary person. It will absolutely draw the strength out of you. It will cause stress. You know, when I get stressed, my teeth move. I get chest pains. Am I the only one? My hair falls out. I see there's a few of you that have the same problem. But he says, listen, sin causes stress. And stress takes away life from you. And he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on God. And he says, that stress won't be there. And you go, I don't believe it. It's because you haven't leaned on God. That's why. You don't believe it because you haven't experienced it. Look here. The fourth thing that he lists when he says, let your heart keep my commands. These are the things that he's listing as commands. The fourth one in verse 9. Uh-oh, this is where it hits home, just a little closer. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. He's talking about the tithe. He's talking about the tithe. And he says, listen, you want my hand on you? You want all this stuff that I just talked about in chapter 1 and chapter 2? Not only do you let not mercy and truth forsake you in verse 3, and trust in the Lord in verse 5, and do not be wise in your own eyes in verse 7, but now in 9, he says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Why should we honor God with our money? Well, he tells us, look here in 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You know, as I think about this and I think, I have no desire for things. I just have no desire for them. I mean, I like to have fun and mess around, but deep in my heart, I have no desire for things. I just want my family. I want God. That is it. I don't get tangled up in stuff. And you know, some of you are going, well, you know what? I've tithed and I've trusted God with my possessions and with my tithe. I've given it. But man, I'm not getting an increase. I think the reason that you're not getting an increase is because your heart's not right. Because when you get more, you want more. what a selfish lot of people we are. I'm just, sometimes I'm blown away by it. Black Friday, oh my goodness, I won't even go. If I did, it would just be to do a documentary of how ignorant people can be. My youngest brother wanted to take my girls to Black Friday when we were in Ohio. And it was, no. And then he asked the dumbest question. You don't trust me? Has nothing to do with trust. Dude, I am not exposing my children to that insanity. Just not going to do it. And I think that when we look at this and we say, you know, I've been tithing, but I'm not getting my vats filled and my barns full. What it is because you're not satisfied. Or you're truly not trusting and tithing and honoring God with your things. See, the problem is, if we want the full blessings of God, we got to give God our everything. We can withhold nothing. When it comes to your finances, it's the only thing where God says, try me. Try me. God says, what, you think I'm kidding you? Try me. You honor me with your possessions. You tithe. Try me. See if I won't open up windows of heaven and pour out blessings in so much you won't be able to receive it all. It'd be in such abundance. Try me. Test me, God says. It's the only place God says test him is when it comes to money. Why would he say that? Because he knows we hold money so dear to our heart. Look here in verse 11. The fifth thing. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Look here in 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. God says, listen, don't despise my chastening. Because you're not obedient in other areas, I have to help correct you. You know, my girls, like I said they would change some rules. They don't like some of my punishments. But they have to understand the only reason I do it is because I love them dearly. And I want what's best for them. And God says, don't despise my chastening for you. I do it because I love you dearly. And I want what's best for you. Now look here in 13 through 18, and I'm going to finish with this. If we keep his commands here in 3:1, remember, go back to 3:1. My son, do not forsake my law, which is God's written word, but let your heart keep my commands. And then he starts unfolding the commands that he really wants you to keep. These are like top shelf commands, if you will. If you do all that, look here in 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. That word happy literally means happy, joyous, excited, elated, if you will. Elated is the man. In other words, you're not just happy, you're over the top. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds, remember her being wisdom, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand, riches, and honor. If you want your wealth, you need God's wisdom. If you want long days, peace, longevity, you want wisdom. You get wisdom, you get everything else. Everything is wrapped up in wisdom. And you're obtaining it. Look here in 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. You know, we talk about tithing because that's what this whole month is about, is stewardship. It's not just your money. Guys, really, I don't want your money. If this church folded tomorrow, God would still take care of me. It's not about your money. I could care less about your money. What I want, though, is I want your growth in Christ. I want you to be mature Christians. I want you to have the blessings of God on your life. Listen, I didn't write this. I'm only preaching it. And God says, if you grab hold of everything I say, I will rock your socks off. But we have to hold on to it. I remember I was talking to, I used to drive bus at the college, and since I was the old man, and, you know, I was old going to college, and I remember going to another church, and we were doing all kinds of events and whatnot, and sharing, and this young girl comes up to me, she was probably 18, and she goes, John, you rock my face off. And I thought, that's a good thing, right? God wants to rock your face off. God wants to give to you and bless you and secure you and give you peace and comfort and security and safety. He wants to fill your barns. He wants to overflow your vats. God says, man, I want to give to you. But I can't give to you if you're selfish and untrusting. I can't give to you if you won't do what I say. Guys, we have to understand. Read on. Go all the way. I mean, for the sake of time, we're not going to do it. But mark this and read all the way to verse 35. And if you want to know what wisdom is, I mean, you want to know what God's wisdom is, go to chapter 8 in Proverbs and read chapter 8. Oh my goodness. You talk about giving you a picture of wisdom. It is unbelievable. Go to Proverbs chapter 8 and read it. God says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to trust in you either. I want you to trust me. I want you to reverence me. I want you to glorify me. And when you do that, you'll get everything you want. Why? Because you'll be thinking like God and you'll want the things of God. And if you say, I'm doing it and my barns aren't full, my vats aren't overflowing, it's because you're still all about you. And God's not going to bless that. There's a monkey over in Africa. There's many monkeys over in Africa. I can't remember the name of it, though. And it's actually, this is going to sound sick, it's actually a delicatessen, a delicacy, sorry. I'll get my words right. I looked it up in the dictionary this morning. I'm kidding. It's actually a delicacy. And so what they do is they catch these monkeys, and with mallets, little mallets, they soften the skull, if you will, and partake in this delicacy. Well, the only way they can catch these things, because they're so slick, they can't keep up with them, you know. And so what they'll do is they'll take a gourd, and they'll empty it out, and they'll put a little hole in it, and they'll put things in the gourd that these monkeys like. Well, the monkey will go in, and when he goes in, his hand goes into the hole. And he reaches in, and he gets a handful of all this goodies that they really like. And the gourd is mounted, so he can't take the gourd. They've got it fixed. And literally, at that point, all they have to do is walk up to the monkey and grab it. Just walk right up to him. Because he is so about him and so greedy that even at the cost of his life, he will not let go of what's in his hand. If he would simply let go of what's in his hand would come right out of the hole and he would escape and be gone. But he refuses to let go of it. He's so greedy that at the cost of his life, he will not let go of that little thing that's in his hand. And I'm afraid that's some of us in here. We're so greedy. We're so caught up in things for ourselves that at the cost of our life and our health and our longevity and our blessings of God, we won't let go of that little bit that our hand will hold to acquire the whole earth. God says, you trust me. But in order to trust me, you got to let go. You got to let go of those things that are controlling your life. Because if you don't, it'll cost you your life. not my words, God's word. Where are you at today? It's not about me getting your money. It's about God getting your heart. Are you trustworthy? If you're not doing what God's asked you to do, he's not going to give you any more. He can't trust you with it. Don't lose focus. Remember last week we talked about focus? Don't lose focus. If you're a child of God, then act like one. And honor your Father. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. And Lord, thank you for your word. And just, Lord, how you always challenge us to go to the next step. Lord, how you always challenge us to look at ourselves. Lord, how you always challenge us to sacrifice the good to obtain the best. Lord, you always challenge us to move to the next step, not to stay where we're at. Lord, you challenge us to let go of the frivolous so we can grab hold of the glory. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, today, Lord, I pray that you challenge each and every person here. Lord, that you challenge their heart to quit holding on and trying to fill up their barns, Lord, because you will take the life as you did in the parable of the rich man in Luke. Lord, you want to bless us. You want to give us. But Lord, you want us to keep your commands. And so, Lord, I pray right now that each and every one of us here today would truly look at our heart and look at the God we serve, Lord, whether it be things, money, or you. For we cannot serve both you and money. Lord, help us to seek our true love and what our heart is really about. Lord, expose us so that we could seek after you and obtain all this favor that you talked about in Proverbs. Lord, thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.